men's breakfast, Dave Schulte asked me, so are you looking forward to seeing all those smiling faces tomorrow morning? And I said, maybe. Because maybe they've just been suppressing yawns for all this time. I'm thankful where we're at. And I also want to say, those who are uncomfortable, you know, and you're still wearing masks and things, we hope you don't feel left out, left behind, upset. We really do. We're trying to do the best we can. And we appreciate our elders for making decisions along the way that at least gotten us to here, gotten us to this point. It's a wonderful thing. Your moms have to deal with all kinds of things. I heard a story not long ago about a boy that went to school, young boy went to school, and really nervous. He was on the playground and really nervous with one of his friends. And he said, I'm just afraid something's going on at home. He said, I'm afraid that my mom is finally going to take what she said seriously, and she's really getting serious about cleaning my room once for all. And his friend said, What makes you think that? And he said, she just signed up for bulldozer lessons. Every mother just said amen inside, I guarantee you. It wasn't vocal, but I heard it. That's what it was. I love the verses we read together a few minutes ago. I suppose that outside of the 23rd Psalm and maybe another two or three passages, that when I'm asked to speak at funeral services, Proverbs 31, at least in whole or in part, is probably easily in the top three or four or five passages I'm asked to read or utilize in some form or fashion, which is pretty remarkable if you think about it, because it only fits half of the people who I'll be doing funerals of by the nature of the case. It's about women. But it's also a very profitable study. But here's what's odd. We're not going to be in Proverbs 31 much at all this morning. In fact, I'm going to mention it here at the beginning. When I get back to it at the very end, you're going to know that we're done. But you have that statement found in verse 28, where it talks about how the children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And we could go on if we wanted to and look at verse 29 and see what the praise actually is. But here's what's interesting. Is if you read the book of Proverbs carefully, all 31 chapters, you might recall the beginning of the book, you have this emphasis on this being wise sayings, wise statements that a parent, specifically really a father, is giving to his children, more specifically his son. And that is found really densely in those opening two, three chapters of the book of Proverbs. And then you go into those chapters where it's just subject after subject after subject, and It's a great memory verse book, because you can just pick and choose and go here and there and everywhere and find all kinds of things about different subjects. But then as you come to the end of the book of Proverbs, you have this chapter, really the last 20 or 21 verses of the chapter, that maybe are meant to bookend how it began. Because how it began was, here's some instructions that a son is supposed to listen to from his parents. And at the end, maybe, just maybe, you have the description of specifically the mother, but what she should strive to be, or at least what a woman should strive to be. But sometimes we think, well, to rise up and call her blessed, I've got to speak all the time. Not if you read Proverbs carefully. What I want to do with you this morning is go throughout that book. We're going to start at the beginning and go through the end, really. Not every verse, don't worry. Don't worry, Dave, I'll get you to a restaurant eventually. I know they feel. But we're going to look this morning at five different things that the book of Proverbs specifically says about how to rise up and call her blessed. Very few of which specifically talk about using our words. They're really more about how we are to live. For example, I rise up and call her blessed, number one, by being obedient. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. I hope you'll follow along with these. We're just going to read the verses, and they're going to go in order through the book of Proverbs, so I hope you'll be able to follow along. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. Solomon said, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head, and pendants for your neck." And your Bible, turn over maybe a page or two to Proverbs chapter 6. And notice what he says near the end of that chapter, in Proverbs 6 verses 20 through 22. I guess I should say in the middle of the chapter. Proverbs 6, beginning of verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. You have a concept there in those verses about the teaching of the mother, both verses. If you're reading, by the way, from the King James Version, you may have noticed it doesn't use the word teaching. It actually uses the word law, your mother's law. And what's interesting about that is that's actually more accurate to what Solomon actually wrote. Because the word translated teaching or law is the Hebrew word Torah. It's always sometimes called the law of Moses. But the word was sometimes used in that very specific way for the law of Moses, but is also used in other ways for just laws, teachings, rules, guidances, those sorts of things. And that's why different translations have different things, laws or teaching. But it's interesting that you have that concept of making sure you heed those teachings. Is that not a biblical concept from beginning to end? And especially when a parent, especially a mother this morning, is thinking about giving godly wisdom, godly teaching or instruction, or we might even say godly law. That does remind mothers to make certain the things that you are teaching are godly. Don't just have rules to have rules. Are they grounded in godly principles? You don't have to quote verses all the time, but are there at least biblical godly principles behind those things? But it's also the reminder of those of us who are children, which, by the way, is pretty much all of us to some degree or another, by the way. So we're children of somebody. Are we hearing godly teaching and obeying it? You know, children obey your parents in the world, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Have you ever noticed that verse doesn't have an age limit? It's just not there. If a parent gives godly wisdom, godly instruction, I need to listen. And I need to obey. Now, it is true we must obey God rather than men. In other words, if we're given something that's not godly, that's a different discussion altogether. But when a mother's teaching, a mother's law is godly wisdom, we rise up and call her blessed when we hear and we obey. When we do what's said because it's godly. Yes, it is one of those things that honors God, but it also honors that parent, that mother. Arise up and call her blessed, number two, also, by being wise. By being wise. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, the beginning of the verse just says the Proverbs of Solomon, but then you have this statement. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Now with that verse in mind, flip over again two or three pages to Proverbs 15, and you have a very similar verse. Proverbs 15 and verse 20. A wise son makes a glad father, exactly how the previous verse began, but a foolish man despises his mother. It's interesting that you have the part of the verse dealing with the foolish one in connection with the mother. It's not the mother's fault, but you have that connection with the foolish side being connected with the relationship with the mother. But there are a couple of differences in those verses. For example, in Proverbs 10 and verse 1, we might say that the struggle is when the son is acting foolishly, and so you have something that deals with emotional pain. He causes sorrow. The word literally means a heavy grief for his mother. But then in Proverbs 15 and verse 20, you have what we might call a relational strain. Because when he acts foolishly, he despises, literally, he continually holds in contempt his mother. So you have a relational strain, and you have, you have an emotional strain, and you have a relational strain in those couple of verses. But did you also notice one other subtle difference in those verses? Proverbs 10 and verse 1, the second part of the verse, says a son does this, generically. Proverbs 15, verse 20 says, a man. In other words, it's not just a little boy acting foolishly or a teenager running around acting crazy. Could it not be even that grown man who is not following godly wisdom, is acting foolish all throughout his life, that Solomon is saying, he despises mom. He despises his mom by the way he lives, that foolish lifestyle. There's not an age limit here. This is not a sermon for those who are 18 and younger or in college and younger. This is for any of us. If we have mothers who are trying to teach us things that are godly or who did before they passed away, We need to make certain that we follow those things in part because it's a way to rise up and call her blessed by living a wise life. But that takes humility. Because yes, there is something about growing and maturing and being independent and all those sorts of things. That's certainly part of it. We're going to get to more of that in just a moment. But it takes humility because sometimes it takes me realizing that she's given me godly wisdom and I'm going to follow God. No matter what I might want to do or feel like the way I can express myself or how I want to live or whatever it is, I'm going to be wise. Because that's what God would have me to do. Rise up and call her blessed by being wise, not foolish. Number three, I rise up and call her blessed by being near. By being near. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 26, the level of difficulty begins to become a little stronger as we go through here. Proverbs 19:26, he who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. It's the second part of that verse, obviously we want to think about the concept of a mother. He who chases away his mother, the word means just that, to put to flight or those sorts of things. But behind it is not just something violent. Behind that term is also something that just means to put a wedge. It's not just chasing away in some violent way, although that's mentioned with the father in the first part of the verse. But chasing away here is intentionally putting a wedge in the relationship. Now, there are times where there are going to be stresses and strains in every relationship, including parents and children. That may be especially true as children begin to gain more independence and grow older and have their own families and those sorts of things. There's going to be physical differences at times. There's going to be philosophical differences at times. That's all part of it. We understand that. But what Solomon is talking about is intentionally putting a wedge in the relationship. And it happens over and over and over again. I've seen it happen more in the last, I'll just generally say 10 to 15 years, and I saw it in the first few years of being a minister. And the time it hit me the most, when I really began to see it, I won't get too specific, but I was attending a funeral one time. I didn't know the person. It was someone who I was preaching at that congregation. It was someone's aunt, I believe, who had passed away. I didn't know the person, but I knew the family a little bit. And it wasn't in the town where I lived at the time. I had to drive about an hour and a half to get to the funeral. And one of the relatives stood up, by the way, anybody who has anything to say part of a funeral, I'm always scared out of my mind. What is getting ready to be said here? And this funeral was one of the reasons why, I'll be honest with you. This woman got up and began to be very clear about how she had lived a profligate lifestyle and began to enumerate all of these sinful things, the life she lived and all these things, but then paid the highest compliment in her mind that she could think of for the dearly departed. She accepted me just the way I was. That's not a high compliment. That's tragic. Because this fairly young person, if I remember correctly, maybe in mid-20s, was very clearly saying she thought I was doing stuff that was wrong, things that were foolish, things that were against God for sure. So there was obviously a wedge in the relationship that she put there. I never need to be the reason why that wedge is there. I never need to be that. And the reason we're calling this be near is I don't want that wedge to be there. Again, there's going to be some philosophical differences, some decisions that are different. That's all part of it. But to intentionally put a wedge, a distance there, to chase away, that's absolutely wrong. We rise up and call her blessed by being near and not driving a wedge. Number four, we rise up and call her blessed by being respectful. And I'm going to be disrespectful with this remote control pretty soon. By being respectful. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. In Proverbs 20 and verse 20, very strongly worded, very negatively worded statement. We're going to hopefully turn into a positive as we go through this point. Solomon said, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. Now, the word translated curses can mean just that, obviously, to pronounce a curse of some kind. And sometimes we read these passages, especially in the Old Testament, and we see something about pronouncing a curse or cursing someone, and that's all we think about. It's some almost like specific statement. I curse you by this and that. We think it's like almost some, you know, chant you have to make. That's not all that word means. Yes, it includes that. It includes sort of almost a chant or a statement that someone could actually make to curse someone, almost take a negative oath against someone. But the word can also mean, now it works faster, now it can also mean to count lightly. In other words, it doesn't just include pronouncing some curse. It also includes the mindset that would lead to being willing to say such a curse. I don't respect my father or mother. I count them lightly. And so it becomes very easy then to actually pronounce a curse. That's why Solomon chose that word in Proverbs 20 and verse 20. And so what you have in that concept is then to rise up and call a mother blessed means that we do that not just in things that we say, not just in outward acts, although that's part of it, but also in the way that we have respect for, honor for, feelings for, mental thinking toward. The things that lead to respect start from within. And then you have that part at the end about his lamp or his light. Did you notice it doesn't say he will put out his lamp? It's not what Solomon said. He said his lamp will be put out. Now, what's the idea of the lamp? Well, it depends on who you ask. You can find scholars and commentators who suggest it's religion, you know, it's relationship with God. There are others who suggest it's wisdom because you're dealing in the book of Proverbs. It's very possible it's both, or some combination of the two. That if I'm so willing in my thinking and in my statements, my words, to actually curse my parents, specifically my mother, as we're thinking about this morning, then do I really have a good relationship with God? Probably not. And am I wise? For sure not. And so you put those couple of things together, it probably is both, or at least some combination of those two things. But it doesn't say he puts it out, it says it will be put out. God will take care of this, either in this life or at the end of this life. But you think about the concept of respect. It starts from within, but it does come out. And it should come out throughout life. I came across a list some time ago that suggested, and this was written for those who are somewhat older, and their parents maybe even, you know, obviously their parents are older than they are. That was a really smart thought, Adam. Although I actually do know a couple where the children are older than the parents. You can ask me about that later. I do know one. They adopted. It happened. It's weird. But anyway, that's a different sermon day. But they gave a list of some ways to continue to show respect throughout age, especially if you're grown and you have children. They said to talk to them, talk to your parents regularly. Visit them as often as you can, however you can. Include them in family activities. If they're aging, help them remain active. Organize visits with the grandkids, and I would add, however you can do that, especially in the age we live and technologically and things. But I found the last one most interesting because they said just be loving. And I thought, well, that kind of covers a lot. But thankfully, they had a little list under that. Here are some ways I suggest we can be loving. Be affectionate, giving hugs and kisses. Apologize when needed, remembering that they have feelings too. Thank them for ways they've helped you become who you are. Mom and Dad, you can close your ears. Spoil them. In other words, now that you have money of your own, spend some of it on the way they've done for you all these years.
I want to get everything on my wall. It's a dollar. But then the last one on that list
was simply to make sure you tell them that you love them. And I'm going to have to use this one because my clip came off. Oh, it's still on there. Broke my microphone preaching this morning. You can put that on Facebook. This isn't embarrassing at all. Let's just use this one. The last one was just simply to make sure you tell them you love them. And the fact of the matter is, it's one of those things that we should know all along, but all of those things begin with an attitude. They begin from the inside. They don't come from a heart, but they also come out in ways that should be known for being honest. It doesn't have to be some big, loud declaration. It doesn't have to be some fancy Facebook post. It comes from a heart that simply wants to show respect all throughout life. And then number five, we rise up and call her blessed by being continual. Or you might want to choose the word consistent. Turn to Proverbs 23 and verse 22. I love this verse. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Solomon says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." See, this is not just for those who are still in high school or even in college, or even maybe who just kind of started their life on their own. This is for all of us to some degree. They're sometimes known as the sandwich generation. They're those who are raising children of their own, but now their parents also have all kinds of difficulties of aging. Maybe it's financial difficulties, maybe it's health difficulties or mental difficulties. And many of you are in that particular time in your life where you're still raising children, or at least helping children maybe in college or to get out on their own, but you're dealing with doctor's appointments, you're going and visiting aging parents, maybe, and I know we're in the age of COVID, so some of that's looked different, but you're going to assisted living homes or at least trying to check on parents at assisted living homes. And some of you all do that with a grace that is absolutely remarkable. Remarkable. You call often, you visit as much as you can. Some of you know your parents' medication list better than you know your own because you love them. But I love that picture of when she is old. And sometimes that means you go make that visit and she doesn't even know you're there. She might remember who you are. And yeah, it makes you a little bit sad. But it also causes you to swell with pride because you're getting to pay back a little bit what you were given when you didn't know who she was either. And the only word you knew was wah, 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 wah. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, I think sometimes we very much use a principle from that verse that's okay, but we misapply it. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 is a passage that talks about if a man will not work and provide for his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The old King James says worse than an infidel. And sometimes we use the first part of that verse that the man should bring home the bacon, he should be a good worker, and that's absolutely true what it's saying. But then sometimes we turn just that verse into its own thing and we say, see, he should provide for his family because he's bringing home the bacon and his children have all kinds of Xboxes and Y boxes and Z boxes and they play Minecraft and Shinecraft and everything else and they have iPhones and G phones and they have everything they ever wanted in the world when that has absolutely zero to do with the context. Nothing. The context is dealing with aging parents, specifically a widow. That's what he's talking about. Because she gave up so much when you were young. Now is there something you could give up now that she is old? It's a beautiful passage, and we read it and study it that way. We rise up and call her blessed when we do that. The actual statement found in Proverbs 31, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. The actual statement that follows is many women, one translation has, do noble things or are excellent, but you surpass them all. I've heard a lot of people say very similar things. I've seen a lot of people post very similar things on social media. But what's more beautiful than hearing the words or seeing the social media posts is looking at someone's life and seeing reflect those types of actions. Seeing them have the kind of heart and the kind of will and the kind of attitude and the kind of actions that actually show that whether they ever actually say many words at all, there is no doubt whatsoever that they appreciate the godly wisdom given by a mother. Let me quickly say, I know that this day is not easy for everyone. I totally understand that. I know some have strained relationships with mothers. Some have mothers who have passed away, maybe very recently. But did you notice throughout the lesson, I tried, I may not have succeeded, but I tried over and over and over again to use words like godly wisdom, godly teaching, godly example. Here's why. Even if a relationship with a mother is strained or non-existent, if there is anything, anything godly and wise that she taught, honor that. Honor that. Something. Something is worth honoring. Are you godly? Are you living a life that honors Him above all else? He's told us how to make certain we begin that journey. By hearing His Word, believing what it says, turning from sins, confessing His Son Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then being baptized in water for the forgiveness of our sins. I brought my mask up here this morning for that reason. That if someone wants to be baptized, I'll put that thing on and we'll go to the water together. And we will immerse you into Christ. Or maybe this morning as a Christian, there's something in your life that just is not right. Maybe it's in a relationship such as a parent-child relationship. Maybe it's something completely different from what we talked about this morning. But you want us to pray with you and encourage you and ask for forgiveness. Whatever your need is, will you come while we stand and sing to encourage you.
Amen.